evil spirits, demonic possession. We don't believe in that stuff. Stupid or superstitious, much. We have modern and scientific explanations for such things. Maybe the passage from Mark, maybe he was epileptic. Maybe he was bipolar, but by an unclean spirit? A spirit, furthermore, who just gets up and leaves at Jesus' say-so? Come on. Still, have you ever said to someone, what possessed you? People often do seem to be possessed by an unclean spirit, a spirit of evil, even. What, we ask, possesses a terrorist to murder innocent people, a predator to harm a child? I still can't understand, can't wrap my head around what possessed the January 6th terrorist to get so out of control that they trampled one of their own people to death. Now, on a much more benign level, having grown up in a house full of brothers, I know a little bit about demonic possession. Out of control boys rampaging through the house, or more discreet boys quietly locking themselves in the bathroom, turning on all the faucets and climbing out the window. No wonder my mother spent a good part of my childhood saying, y'all, on earth possessed you. Someone just really made a demonic echo there. Kind of how my mom sound, oh, y'all, y'all, y'all. But it works the other way too. Even we who don't believe in demons are impressed when someone seems possessed by something greater, better than themselves, some spirit of bravery, of compassion. You know, I think of so many healthcare workers, not just providing just medical care for COVID-19 patients, but going that extra mile, connecting families through FaceTime, taking on the role of family members themselves, holding hands, keeping watch, loving. What possesses people to act with such loving selflessness? So, although we don't believe in demonic possession or evil spirits, if we just skip over this passage in the gospel, we might miss out on something far more compelling than an exorcist prequel. So let's look again at our story. Jesus and his new friends are in Capernaum. And since it's the Sabbath, they go to the synagogue, and Jesus, at the start of his career as a traveling pulpit supply preacher, is invited to speak. Maybe some people have heard about this guy already. Wasn't he a carpenter? Wasn't he from that hick town, Nazareth? Probably they didn't expect much. Maybe they were already looking at their watches and thinking about an after worship Bloody Mary. But Jesus began to speak, and people we hear were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, the scribes actually did have authority. They were educated, literate men. And yes, Otto, they were only men in a largely illiterate society, well-versed in Torah, highly respected, privileged even, often employed by wealthy and powerful people. They were men of authority. But Jesus, he seemed to speak with a different kind of authority. The scribes' authority was earned. The authority of Jesus is innate. And as people are pondering this, someone interrupts the service. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Yikes. I'm going to imagine. Imagine it's Sunday morning and you're attending a Zoom worship gathering. Now imagine that someone we know, someone we don't, somebody suddenly Zoom bombs us, getting right up close to their camera and screaming. Scary, huh? I don't know about you, but I would freak out. That's kind of what happened to Jesus. Only worse, actually, because he was a guest preacher. He didn't know these people. Maybe they were all screaming maniacs. And it was IRL, in real life. This disruptive yeller was all too up close and personal. So unlike me, Jesus couldn't just click on suspend participant activities to get rid of the guy. But you know, I don't think he'd have done that anyway. I don't think he'd have wanted to. Because, well, so the congregation shifts uneasily, thinking, who let that crazy guy in? We need better security. Or maybe, oh dear, it's poor Isaac. I wish his family would keep him at home when he gets like this. Either way, Jesus says what everyone must have wanted to say, be quiet. But the thing is, while most people had been wondering about the authority with which Jesus spoke, this poor man, or actually the unclean spirit which possesses him, recognizes and names that authority. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus recognized that spirit. Oh, he sees the man and what has taken control of the man. So Jesus tells, he does more than tell that spirit to shut up. He commands it to leave that poor guy alone, to get the hell out. And it got. Because Jesus was also possessed, filled by, consumed by, taken over by the very spirit of the living God. God, Mark's gospel will make clear, that is who Jesus' authority comes from. And in this first act of his public ministry, Jesus says to the non-God powers, whatever we choose to call them, shut up, get out. God is here. This is no place for you. I think of demons as things that are way beyond our control and not good things. Things that lead to pain, to ugliness, things that lead to death and possession by those things. It's horrible. It's an impossible bondage from which we cannot free ourselves by ourselves, not just by ourselves, at least. We need help to be set free. What have you to do with us, all us demons, Jesus of Nazareth? That unclean spirit cried out, unclean as in defiler of the holy. What is Jesus to do with us, each one of us? Well, that's a question we can each probably only answer for ourselves. But remember, in this incident, it's the demon talking, not the possessed man. Do we hear multiple demons, collective corporate demons crying out to Jesus? Maybe in our lives today. The demon we hear is not the pandemic of COVID-19, horrific as that is, but the inequity revealed by the pandemic. Maybe it's the demon of systemic racism, or the demon of deeply entrenched misogyny. It's the multiple demons of all those things that invade their victims, that seek power and control over people, that lead to the degradation of the body and the demoralization of the spirit. And I'm not letting us, you know, including me, I'm not letting us off the hook here. Like, does anyone remember Flip Wilson? You know, the comedian, "The Devil Made Me Do It." Yeah. Demons nay possess us against our will, but often only after we have invited them in for a little chat, a cup of tea, a quick drink. They can be good company after all. They can make life a little easier, a little more manageable. I'm thinking white privilege can make life a little easier. Demons are seductive. We didn't realize that they'd stay so long, that they take over our lives. Sometimes we fall in love with our demons. Sometimes we really do hate them and want them to leave. Either way, we need help to be set free. Luckily, the unclean spirit was right. Jesus of Nazareth did come to destroy it. And it's almost weird that the spirit was right about another thing, that remember everyone was impressed with Jesus, impressed with his authority, but only the spirit knew where that authority came from. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Maybe for us, it's a question of what or who has authority in our lives. There are a lot of voices out there speaking with authority, earned, innate, or illusory. You remember that old bumper sticker, anyone? Question authority? It sounds good, you know, we should question, test, inquire before we give our allegiance to anyone or anything. But the truth is, in the end, we all recognize the authority of something. And if, as it seems, we are all possessed by something, it also seems that what possesses us is what we grant authority to, what we, in fact, worship, whether we admit it or not. For all our scientific knowledge, our modern technologies, our enlightened and enlightenment values, we too are at the mercy of things we don't understand, and of things we understand only too well, but still find that we're powerless to free ourselves from. You know what Paul said in Romans? I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. The evil I do not want is what I do. You know, these days we like to read the gospel healing and exorcism stories as stories really about Jesus' mercy and compassion. And he is merciful. And his compassion is without bounds. But I think even more, these are stories about the liberating power of God. God who reaches out and sets us free from our pervasive possessions, our degrading obsessions. And maybe in order to be truly free, we have to recognize, like that poor unclean spirit, we have to recognize an authority greater than ourselves, an authority that comes from and belongs only to God. So immediately after this incident, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. It spread the way fame always spreads, because people share stories, bear witness, proclaim what they know to be true. So this is what I know to be true. In fact, this is probably all I know to be true. God is here. Possessed and obsessed as we are with things that consume us, that steal our allegiance and demand our attention and seem so important and are often so beyond our control, God is with us. God is here. We are no place for demons. What possessed him, we ask? She was like a woman possessed, we say. We don't believe in demons. But I'm gonna ask you to think about this. Y'all, what on earth or in heaven possesses you? Who possesses you? And to God alone be the glory. Amen.
Amen.